This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Rhett.
And I'm Link.
And we're the hosts of the podcast Ear Biscuits. We're just two lifelong friends who've been talking about life for a long time.
From being dads to businessmen to all the random things we experience, nothing is off limits.
And now we're talking to you. We're answering your questions, giving advice that you may or may not want to take, and listening to your hilarious stories.
So leave us a voicemail to be part of the show at
1-888-EARPOD1 on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A little disrespect from The Athletic when it comes to the Houston Texans. This is Austin Mock, who I believe he's that guy in The Athletic set that has the computer that he feeds a lot of stuff into, and it spits out, you know, models on what the season could look like and things like that. Okay, he's a computer
that
nerd.
Type of a computer.
Yeah, that okay. the computer you put data into and it spits things out.
Yeah,
that
yeah. Type. Okay. Yeah. He's got one of those.
As opposed to the ones with arms and legs and self-awareness called robots. Okay.
Yeah.
His is a desktop. But he has a model where he ranked all 32 NFL rosters from best to worst before the draft. This is before the draft, obviously. The model takes various metrics and assigns a value to each player that shows their impact on a single game. Positional value is vital in football, means that Saquon Barkley is a star running back, doesn't get as much love as, say, Myles Garrett, who is a star edge rusher. Edge rusher, more important and irreplaceable position than running back. So after summing up the values of each roster, he ranks them 1 through 32. And he ranks them, the point system is how many points a team is expected to win or lose by against an average NFL roster. Okay. Yeah.
And it's not, I mean, to be fair to him, it's not shade. It's just, these are what the numbers are.
Oh, so you take it however you want to.
It's about as objective as you can get. Yeah.
Could have just not written the article. Okay.
He said he did all this work and then
saw the text.
Like, wait a second. Texans are the 19th. Oh, what the hell? No.
I think I'm going to write about botany or something like that.
Yeah.
The Eagles are the most talented roster on here. They, just to give a perspective on what the range is, the Eagles are the most talented. They are viewed as being 6.7 points better than an average roster. So nearly a touchdown better than an average. Expected margin of victory against an average roster would be nearly a touchdown. Ravens second, Lions third. You get the idea. Chiefs fourth, Bills fifth. That's the top five. Buccaneers sixth, huh? But that's your top five. Top five teams are basically the Lions and all the teams that made it to the conference title games last year. The bottom of the league is the Titans, who are negative 5.2 points against an average NFL roster. I point that out because it's Tennessee and it's fun to point it out, but it gives you the range sort of what this looks like. The Texans are 19th on this list. They are viewed as a roster who is nearly a point worse than an average roster in the NFL.
Yeah.
Seth, you're looking at this just like I am here. The teams that are around the Texans, the three teams in front of the Texans are the Steelers, Dolphins, and Falcons. Two teams that didn't make the playoffs, and the Steelers who did but got blown out and knocked out. The three teams behind the Texans, directly behind them, are the Cardinals, the Colts, and the Seahawks.
Yeah.
This does not feel like the swamp of teams that I or a lot of Texan fans feel the Texans
well,
are in.
No, right and now. I think it's probably a pretty accurate indication in terms of if you look at the way the Texans were last year and how guys played on offense compared to other good teams, they had a lot of drastically underperforming players on the offensive line at tight end. So half of their offensive roster was underperforming, and then
they lost two big receivers during the injury.
As they're looking at it on the roster right now, you take Stephon Diggs out of the equation, you take Tank Dell out of the equation, and it looks pretty decrepit. And a lot of that also has to do with you lost Laremy Tunsil, that would have graded highly in the regards and whatever metrics he's using there. So it actually, it makes sense. I think on paper, you can look at the team and say, well, on paper, yeah, they're a worse team than however they finished up a couple years ago when you subtract all those guys who performed well a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think the part that maybe skews it a little bit is that on the defensive side of the ball, the cumulative effect of the players you did have was that you also, you took the ball away a lot. You were second in interceptions. That tilts the tables a lot in terms of how competitive you are week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
You played in a weaker division, that helps out a lot. I think that the cautionary tale with this jersey and the with this ranking and the where it really matters is that it really drives home the point that, yeah, you've got to get better play out of your offensive line and out of your tight ends this year. If not, you're not, as it wasn't a Super Bowl caliber offense last year. And if things remain the status quo, if they don't get better, it wouldn't be a Super Bowl caliber offense this year.
Yeah, I think if you're ranking the things they need to get better at to make this ranking better, I think you're spot on. It's offensive line, it's tight end. CJ needs to play better too. You know, I don't want him to go blameless in where the offense was. I make no mistake, if they had a better offensive line, I think CJ has a much better season last year. But there were some things that are probably reflected in what Austin Mock is using here to derive this 19th overall ranking, that are on CJ having to just flat out play better, make throws that he was making in his rookie year, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so.
I think with CJ, there's a kind of a, because you see this, if you look at the rankings and the teams that have the best rosters overall, okay, the Eagles, the Ravens, the Lions, the Chiefs, the Bills, that makes a whole lot of sense.
Yeah.
There is kind of a synergistic effect, though, too, that when the team plays better, obviously you have individual players who are playing better, but then also some of your average players end up playing better than they actually are, mm-hmm. just because they're playing alongside of other people. So there's a little bit of a chicken and the egg element there. Yes, you need those good players to be a really good team, but the team that has good players and they play really well together, then those guys tend to be graded out individually better. So I look at this and you say, okay, they're the 19th best roster. It's all sandwiched right in there in that like middle 25 percentile or whatever it would be. Realistically, when you look at the actual scores,
yeah,
that I don't look at it. I look at it as a pretty accurate indication of, I think, how they played last year and where they are right now with the O-line rebuild.
Average football team. Like they're in the range where you say they're an average football team. According to this, they're less than a point below an average football team, which means, you know, like it's a coin flip, you know,
and they can't get away with playing offensively the way they did last year. So if I'm looking at it, you know, cold hard statistics,
yeah,
the huge X factor here, one of them is Nick Caley and whether he's a better offensive coordinator than Bobby Slowick.
Yep.
I mean, that's, Bobby Slowick got fired last year. You don't have to overthink it. D'Amico doesn't think that Bobby Slowick did a good job last year.
Right.
He thinks somebody else can do a better job. And just by virtue of having a better offensive coordinator in there, you get better individual performances out of all those guys. You don't look at the numbers and say that this is that guy's grade last year and that's exactly who he is as a player.
Well, if we're going to be specific about this ranking that you and I are talking about, if you're tuning in, Seth and I are talking about a ranking the Athletic has, ranking the rosters.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Heading into the NFL draft later this week, it's all based on the players. There's nothing. It's positional value, player value. There's no way to measure. There's no body of work for Nick Caley, let alone some numeric thing you can put into a computer that
right,
this
right.
Out, you know?
But I guess what I'm saying is that this is where it gets tough with analytics in football, is that because everything is so interdependent that the success of the team also does highlight the individual players, and they end up grading out better and everything. So I feel like it's a pretty accurate indication of what the team was last year.
Yeah.
They were a 500-plus football team for much of the season because the offense was so underperforming.
Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. Looks like CJ isn't doing the draft day podcast again this year. I don't know if they podcasted that. I think what you're referring to is on Bleacher Report. They had their own NFL draft show. I think they streamed it. So,
well, yeah, podcast is a pretty generic term these days for if you stream it or whatever else. Yeah.
Gotcha. Good. I say good. He was good on that last year. I don't think he said anything. I don't think there was anything on that podcast last year or that show, that stream, whatever we're calling it, that I felt like CJ said some things on the podcast at the Super Bowl where I'm like, or on the $1 million worth of game podcast where he's ranking the top five quarterbacks in the league and he's third. Like,
yeah.
Those are things where I'm like, all right, he might want to chill on that a little bit. But I love that with him and Micah last year because, one, any interplay with him and Micah is always very entertaining because CJ hates Micah's takes. But then the Ricky Pearsall dynamic, when Pearsall got drafted by the 49ers at 31 and CJ like went into the fetal position on the couch because he really liked Ricky Pearsall,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think there's a part of with your quarterback where that's the player that you want to be able to most ignore the noise and ignore the distractions. So there is something with the quarterback position where you really don't want your quarterback contributing to the noise. And I think a lot of that is just maturing into a full-blown veteran NFL quarterback where you just kind of want to be above or completely distance yourself from a lot of the drama.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be that calm, cool, collected baseball mentality of, you know, not going too high with the highs, not going too low with the lows. Though I feel like it's a justifiable concern of fans if their quarterback is too much out there in the discussion and everything. And I know a lot of people love to act like, this is a petty thing to be concerned about. Like, all right, get over yourself, Joe. You get things more than other people. I like a quarterback that's more just in his bunker, doing his own thing, concerned about football, and not as much concerned about just the fame side of it.
For being honest, it's probably less fun to do those podcasts when you didn't have as good a season as your rookie year also.
That's true.
It's more fun to go talk about how awesome you were the year before than a year where people are like, what happened last year?
Oh, no. And there are a lot of people, too. I think, you know, in the national media, I think there's a lot of people that are kind of just, they kind of want their old takes about how dominant CJ was going to be last year to kind of recede and not have to address it. They still feel highly about CJ Stroud, but they're kind of in wait and see mode.
Where's Washington in the rankings? Somebody's asking. They are tied for eighth with the Los Angeles Rams. So they're fairly high up there, which is honestly, that might have been in the range where the Texans were coming off of CJ's rookie year, you know?
Right.
The Commanders are kind of the Texans from 2 years ago.
Well, and honestly, like what I'm trying to say here is that because obviously I'm a Texans fan and I want the Texans to be ranked high in everything, I'm not trying to diminish it. I 100% agree and see why they are where they are, but rankings like this I also take with a huge grain of salt because it's amazing when you look at one player on a bad team and how poorly he's graded simply by going to a new team. All of a sudden he's graded much better, yes, because his flaws don't have as many opportunities to be exposed. So there's a lot of individual players on. I said this all last year about the Texans offensive line. Those guys individually had better football in them, but the way in which they were being coached and how they were functioning as a unit made every single one of them look like the worst version of himself. That's why I still have a restrained optimism about guys like Juice Scruggs and Jarrett Patterson and all those other young guys.
Cam Smith was on Sunday Night Baseball. He sat down with Eduardo Perez, and this was cool to hear. A young player on the Astros, what his view of going to the Astros was and what the biggest adjustment is to playing right field instead of third base. We'll hear from Cam Smith on the heels of a 7-0 Astros win last night against Toronto. We'll do that coming up next.